Chapter 6. For as the mister jumped down and walked to Flaylin, it bumped in the tail end of his vision, the it here being a sewer grate, mist pulpit truer in symbolism than an actual heightal stance. "Man, what a vital mascot this happy one shall be," said the mister as, his walk done, dissed her in this the woman who before had bespoke him by shooing her from them. He put his arm around Flaylin McDrab's shoulders, and they walked, bound boulders cascading down a hill devoid of trees, back to the pill-shaped opening through which the sewer beckoned. "Through this, my friend," said he, though Flay reckoned his key was pitched to the whole group, to F., "through this covert pass, troop, we convert the king and state, both, all, though through it must be short. We will be tall at court to where the passageways lead. We will be tallest for days after. Calls missed, or rather should I say, calls taken unanswered by this waylay prancer, there will be none. This phone tonight shall all connect in tone and in project. We have so practiced it." And then he took the top cover off, lit with mop of fire the ladder down. They all tensed with excite. The brown clearing, with lights leaping all about, came to be kaleidoscope in earth tones, same as rope-hued emerging within the sewers foul lit deep, whose tinny waters peep through, light's whiskers no chin. "Next stop, King's Autumnal Palace, or in some all our causes final effects." They all paused and engazed, their necks bent, eyes amazed. With a simple hand flick, Mister bade them enter. Their finger-picked mentor, the 13 saluted as they descended down. Looted waters splash sounds as they landed. "My friend," said Mister to McDrab after the end of Fab 4 plus 9's downgoing, "I'm glad that you're with us, towing the line and fuss as we crash through." Gentle push accompanied through, and Flaylin fell down to the water mercury. Mister then climbed grandly. Curry in his stand, he smiled at the 26 torches. 13 were real. 13 were fixed on steel-glinted wet reflections, which greeted him below. Lections were shut off, so by hand signal. One lone mounted back up to close the grate. With groan of dos burros, it was sealed shut. And with that, and some more, the subtle marching corps bore off down the tunnel, splishings and light-only signals, funneled tonely and fuzzily to Flay near the end of the line. No day or night or sign of any kind was there, just the going on, so that F was bare, except for his happiness aglow. He marched on cheerily, the stowaway, really amongst ethereal, nebulous, vacuous, like cereal, you just pick which one based on how you feel and continue to plow your grain in, you don't can't know truly. It was as if a youngin in bed did sit, sung in and tucked most carefully, and realized darkness dullies not a shark-messed ocean, but still the same place it always is, her, his room, just tamed by purrs from unhuman felines. Just so did Flaylin see, tree lines no longer, free from lines and shape symmetry, just the blurry forms of those watery nights. Dorms for the brainless, soulful ideas and dreams we may cull when we are we, in between wakes of sleeps. The water so flowed soft. The others' creeps were coughed contentedly through torch smoke, and so all was moved so mortuary proved that stillness abided in their regular rhythms tided, which were by the feet. Flaylin kept track of those zigzag trails, which crept slowly like snails back and forth across that sewer water. Small beams of light begat in streams of flowing dark, so like those snakes of reflections which hike the directions of the open-rained roads. And so like them were these easily blowed-off trees of wet mirrors, appearing only to disappear, rearing in others' fear of being abandoned. But in McDrab it bred, akin to dunned bread, familiar hypnosis, such that he was in fact no piss off any's back, losted and left, inmazed in the wrong way, whilst they marched on unfazed. Like clay unmolded, Flaylin stood, in darkness as splashes for good gone, eyelashes the only things in front his eyes, torches off gone, for no more stunts like dawn lit the depths. He so was omitted to the cause, like cousins barred by laws from being kin, that no part of him was seen to be recognized. If sued, he couldn't respond as he was. So he stopped, and then carried on through that den of trickles and drippings. Torchless, he did not bump or cause whippings or lumps from the metallurgic pipes and so on there found. Surgically, he unwound his path as 'twould bandage, slowly and carefully. Walking landage and sea with equal skillage, Flay practically zoomed ahead. His way slowly unled his stumbling out of it, and he thought he had gone some way when sitting pawn he seemed to be, the ground all checkered, and some light had found its way through night to show him where he lay. Always keeping in squares, he found his way upstairs, past the becheckering, and where a faint buzz hum made ring below, and drums of walls dank and deep. Past these stairs, past the chessboard, were more halls, casting toward the whispering voices. The light began to fill, noises did too, but still did both seem awkwardly to Flaylin McDrab, who still had hardly come through his hypnosis session. More halls upon more halls, fetching more and more stalls to Flaylin's finding out his exact location. He did not pout, pay a note of distress to lost causes or selves, but ran the cost by running. Fans or some other breeze source F soon felt, and guided his feet on course that led to this faint wind. Just then the light became intense. Suddenly he's immersed in beams from chandeliers and a wide open space. And so from here the case was closed of the breeze's origin. For this hall wheezes such currents, all the people's clothes flapped. Oh yes, for Flaylin now, being untrapped from Cow's spots of obscurity, saw all the people in pretty garb, heard the din of all their fancy talk, and then he realized to where his walk had prized him. Flaylin McDrab was assembled with that set so bedecked in the king's palace. Dissembled F in nothing, so not us. Don't take bows. Trust me now.